This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and it's teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club is online at landsberg-golf.com. You can book your tee times online, or you can call and do it, 727-784-7333. Very busy golf course, greens extremely well maintained. Why am I telling you it's a busy golf course? I'm not trying to scare you away. I'm just telling you that a lot of people in the Tampa Bay area regularly play Landsberg Golf Club. Good value, great greens, and I'm a huge fan of the general manager there, Steve Martin, who's heard every joke in the book about his name. 4605 Village Center Drive, Palm Harbor, Florida. And I mean a full 6846 from the gold tees. Ladies, you're at 5,265. I'll be using all these tee boxes and one that I create for my final foursome tournament a week from Saturday, April 1st at Landsberg Golf Club. I have very limited space available if you would like to play in my golf tournament on April 1st. Are you part of the final foursome? Well, why don't we find out? Landsberg Golf Club, part of the Florida Golf Trail, and for information on my golf tournament, visit joebucksfan.com/golf, or just email me that you want in, because we have to get it done, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. All right, so slow week since we last podcasted, so let me just go over about five different things. Some I would say is newsy, some is just more analysis based. Julio Jones being full strength by camp. It sounds good, probably true. But let's just sort of look at what this means for where you would rank Julio Jones on your draft board looking ahead to 2017. I would say he is in about the same position that he was last year, that you would put him up there as one of the top fantasy wide receivers in football, knowing full well there are going to be some games where he's not 100% or he just doesn't play at all. You're going to deal with that. I talked a lot here on the podcast going into last year's season about A.J. Green and how A.J. Green was one of those players that I wasn't going to invest in just because on a season long, but from a daily standpoint it would be different because A.J. Green had too many games of too many drops or where he didn't give you enough to sort of validate that number one wide receiver spot in your lineup. The more I step back and I look at it, there are very few wide receivers who aren't going to give you a dud game here or there. There are just some smart defenses out there. It's not as easy for a wide receiver to produce. Let's just throw out numbers we'd all be happy with from a wide receiver. 6 to 7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown, right? If you knew you were going to get that every week from your top two wide receivers, you take it, right? So Julio Jones is capable of a 300-yard game. A.J. Green is capable of a 185-yard game, 2 touchdowns. Sure, they're going to have their big games. They're going to have their off games as well. I guess it's to the point in fantasy football where you kind of have to live with that. So as it relates to Julio Jones, and I drafted him in both of my season-long leagues last year, and then I traded him once the Le'Veon Bell suspension was over for Le'Veon Bell. I felt I was getting a more consistent performer in my lineup, and I had some depth at wide receiver, or I felt I could find additional depth at wide receiver, which I think is last year was a little easier to do than at the running back position. So I would do that deal again. I don't back off my drafting of Julio Jones. He wasn't there for me in my fantasy playoffs. That's unfortunate. But clearly, where he's at in his career, the production is there. I just don't think you can count on him on a week-to-week basis. I don't think that hurts his fantasy value, because I think it is helped by the big year the Falcons had. And clearly, the collapse in the Super Bowl does not affect what we think from a fantasy football standpoint. Now, I think there will be a hangover from the Falcons' collapse in the Super Bowl. I don't view them as a playoff team. They've lost so many members of the coaching staff. And I think it's going to be a very difficult thing for that organization and players from that game who stayed in that organization to shake. But as far as Julio Jones, yeah, I would still look at him as a guy that if you want him in your 2017 fantasy football draft, you're going to have to take him in the first round. And I would evaluate him on about the same level that I would have last year. We know there's big production there, but we also know that you're going to deal with rest. You're going to deal with a body that just can't seemingly go week to week playing at home games on the turf. They'll be on a new surface, but still an artificial surface in the new stadium that is opening next to the Georgia Dome. So when they say Julio Jones is full strength, I don't get overly excited. I don't think it, and I don't get overly cynical about it. I think what you see is what you get, and you look at it, especially if you owned him last year, and you expect pretty much the same. There are going to be some big games from Jones, and there are going to be some games where maybe you can identify. You just want an honest injury report, and kind of like I'm trying to think of games where there was a player. Larry Fitzgerald in 2015 was an example of a player that I think there was an ankle injury or something there. When he was dealing with that, there weren't as many targets. He wasn't as productive. There weren't as many yards after catch. If you can identify those games in advance and you have enough depth, then maybe you take your chance with sitting out, your wide receiver one, and going with someone you know is healthy. You prop up your wide maybe you play two wide receiver twos. If they're both healthy, both coming off good games, both in good matchups, that's where you want depth. I've never subscribed to the theory you always, quote, play your studs. No, there are situations where you don't. There are matchups where you don't. And I think Julio Jones might be one of those players. And it might be more predictable than A.J. Green, where you look at a game and say, this is not one where I want to play Julio Jones. But I still think he's first-round value. Now, would Marshawn Lynch be first-round value if, in fact, he ends up back in the National Football League with the Oakland Raiders? There's a lot still to happen here before this is a reality. But clearly, based on a lot of the talk, it seems like there's mutual interest. Now, what the Seahawks want to do with this may ultimately determine where we go here. And you can't put it past Marshawn Lynch if the Seahawks basically want to put him back on the roster and Lynch doesn't want to show up, then the Seahawks could basically, it's the equivalent of when Barry Sanders retired, and we all knew Barry was just asking the Lions to release him, and the Lions wouldn't do it. And then Barry said, fine, I'm done. That could play out this way, where Lynch tries to strong-arm the Seahawks, and the Seahawks have none of it, and just say, all right, we'll find the cap room, we'll carry you. If you don't report, then there are NFL rules that allow for teams to protect themselves from players who simply aren't reporting, just trying to get a release so they can play somewhere else. So I still think this has a long way to go. If Seattle decides we do want to move on from this, we don't want the salary cap burden, or the Raiders can make it worth the Seahawks' while to acquire the rights for Marshawn Lynch, then I would say you're looking at Lynch as, I'd say, a fringe top 10 back, just off the top of my head. He immediately steps into a ready-made Raider offense that would return a healthy Carr at quarterback, some quality talent at the wide receiver position. They add Jared Cook at the tight end position. He'll probably step down initially from just because he was playing with Brett Favre and had such a good finish to the season in Green Bay. I would say a top 10 consideration at running back. He wouldn't be my running back one, but if we're talking about being a fringe top 10 running back, then, perhaps you're going to get in a 10 or 12 team lead, someone drafts him and he's their number one guy. I think he's more of a running back that I would want to have, knowing that I already have someone else as my number one guy. Where I'm just going to throw out a random name here that might be below the level. There are a lot of seemingly very productive running backs out there in the National Football League, just off the top of your head. You know, Ezekiel Elliott is a very productive running back. Devontae Freeman's a very productive running back. David Johnson, very productive running back. So if you can grab one of those guys that are known commodities, knowing their volume, knowing their talents, no real concerns about lingering injuries or the like. Granted, David Johnson was hurt at the end of last year, but I don't think anyone's really concerned about that unless we get a red flag here sometime in the next 3-4 months heading towards camp, where you would want a guy like that, and then maybe you get a Marshawn Lynch and then another lead back, and then you rotate between those two backs as your running back number two. But I don't think you want to project a Marshawn Lynch with the Raiders in a new situation off a one-year hiatus as your number one guy. It might work out, but it just seems like, first of all, we're not there yet, and there's some unpredictability there. If you get him as your second running back, and then quickly back him up with another RB2 or someone you know is going to be healthy and getting targets or catching passes out of the backfield, then I think you'd feel comfortable about your running back situation. I would consider carrying Marshawn Lynch on a 2017 fantasy roster, season-long roster, if he does end up with the Oakland Raiders, because we talk about those offenses where you want to get a piece. You want to get a piece of the Saints offense. You want to get a piece of the Falcons offense. You want to get a piece of the Packers offense. You want to get a piece of the Cowboys offense. You want to get a piece of the Patriots offense. I had various pieces of the Raiders last year. And clearly with Latavius Murray gone, you know, he had a little surgery the Vikings were aware of to get him ready for camp. Whether the Raiders wanted word to get out or not, they seem to be genuinely interested in this possibility. And it's an exciting one. It would be fun to have Marshawn Lynch back in the league. It would be fun to have him back in the world of fantasy football. All right, speaking of running backs, a question I got via email about the Cowboys with the Doug Free retirement and the loss of another offensive lineman to free agency, and what are they going to do with now Lael Collins, and how does this affect Ezekiel Elliott's value, and does it affect the obvious attention that would go to a Dak Prescott as a fantasy quarterback because of Dak's ability to run for touchdowns? At this point, I'd say no. The Cowboys lost a couple of pieces on the offensive line, but they didn't lose any of the best three pieces of the offensive line, which are Smith, Frederick, and Martin. We still haven't been through the draft. It wouldn't stun me at all. And granted, Dallas has some changes in their secondary, but it wouldn't stun me at all if Jerry Jones and the Cowboys find an offensive lineman that they like in the draft, and they select him and they think, okay, you know, let's keep the formula going. That if we find somebody we like, let's get them, let's use them, and hold on to them. So at this point, I wouldn't worry about there's going to be some regression on Ezekiel Elliott. There will be some over-enthusiasm on Dak Prescott. It's going to be very difficult for the Cowboys to roll off another double-digit win streak like they had last year. But I'm not going to just point at the offensive line right now and say, yeah, Elliott, you have to factor in that the offensive line isn't as good as last year. This will negatively impact Elliott's volume, his total yardage, his touchdowns, and it will also have an impact on Dak Prescott and what he is able to do in terms of the passing game and his ability to run for touchdowns. This is yet to be seen, but I think it's just fair to say at this point that to expect Elliott to have the same type season he had second year in a row, probably unrealistic, and there will be some over-enthusiasm on Dak Prescott in fantasy drafts this year, just based on the fact that he is one of those quarterbacks, as we've seen in recent years with a Russell Wilson or with a Cam Newton, who can get you rushing touchdowns as well. So someone in your draft will probably overspend for each of those two. And we'll just see what the next few months bring in terms of what the Cowboys end up going with the offensive line. I would rather overspend on Ezekiel Elliott than I'd rather overspend on Dak Prescott. And obviously I like both guys, but I think if you overspend on Ezekiel Elliott, the return on your investment might be better than overspending on Dak Prescott. Where we look at Ezekiel Elliott, and we clearly see one of the best backs in the National Football League. We look at Dak Prescott, and we see a guy who had one heck of a rookie season, and it came out of nowhere. More and more the defenses are going to figure out some ways to challenge a Dak Prescott, especially if Elliott can't keep the Cowboys ahead of the chains, and then Prescott has to evolve and continue the learning process. So that's why I think at this point, to say the loss of a couple of offensive linemen, I don't think it from a negative standpoint, impacts the way you would think of Elliott or Prescott. Let's talk about Martellus Bennett a little bit with the Packers. Just talking about, you know, the Packers offense being one of those teams where you want a piece of the action. Because of how prolific the offense is, and when they get on a roll, you know, you just love having a guy from that team in the lineup. And because at the end of the day or their game, you see that the Packers have scored 28, 31, 35, 38, 41. You're thinking, I wonder how much of it my guy got. I don't, you know, I was talking about Julius Thomas down in Miami. I would push Julius Thomas up the board as much as I'd drop Martellus down it. Martellus Bennett had a golden opportunity after the injury to Rob Gronkowski to be a big-time feature, pass-catching target for Tom Brady in New England, and it just didn't happen. Bennett had his best game or two when Gronk was still was on the field, and even before the season-ending injury when Gronk was playing some games. Sure, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback who can get Martellus Bennett the football. I would think more highly of what Jared Cook did, and Rodgers was really utilizing his tight ends at the end of last season heavily. I think he wants to use Martellus Bennett, but I'm not sure that to expect Bennett to put up tight end one type numbers, even with Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't do it with Tom Brady, I don't really know what the hell is different about why he would do it with Aaron Rodgers. It's not like Martellus Bennett is new to the National Football League. And there are other things that Martellus Bennett does to make him valuable to a football team. Green Bay needs to run the football to be a more complete offense. It would make things easier on Aaron Rodgers. It would make things easier on that defense. And Bennett can provide some things in the run blocking game that they might not have had with their previous tight ends, with Rodgers and Cook. But from a fantasy standpoint, I would look at the lack of production from a fantasy standpoint with Bennett, with Brady, and not expect it to jump back up and be consistent with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Now, one guy who's worth watching, and this is also an offense where you want a piece, although it's been disappointing the last couple of years, is the Andrew Luck offense of the Indianapolis Colts. And even having Frank Gore last year wasn't a bad, say, RB2. It was a great RB3, was a good RB2 just because of how much volume he got. Kamar Aiken signs with the Colts. 2015, Aiken caught a lot of balls for the Ravens. Last year, that didn't happen. He has signed with the Colts. And while we have to be careful because for a couple years here, the Colts have disappointed. Andrew Luck has, I think, disappointed fantasy owners who have invested in him. The Colts overall as a team have disappointed in what they've done on the field the last couple of years. I did own T.Y. Hilton last year. I was pretty happy. I was. That was a really good season for a T.Y. Hilton. I don't expect Kamar Aiken is going to be taking away catches from T.Y. Hilton. Of course, they have jettisoned Dwayne Allen to the Patriots. There'll be more of a feature role. They like what they had with Jack Doyle, who hit the ground running early last year. But Kamar Aiken should be someone that I think he's worth a look as a late-round draft pick, as depth on your wide receiver chart, because, yeah, I view him as someone with the Colts who has the potential to get back closer to the number of catches he had in 2015 rather than the drop-off he had in 2016 last year in Baltimore. Just someone worth looking at. And you know, we get to those points when in your season-long draft where you're in the last five rounds. And at that point, it's just like, find a guy you like. Find a guy you like who might get some playing time, might get some targets, might get a lot of carries, and just have him on your team and see how the first couple weeks go. And see if they start getting action and hitting the stat sheet. And then maybe they it justifies getting them in the lineup. Because the better they do with their team, the more likely they are going to continue to do that and be fed that by their offensive coordinator and by their quarterback. So I think Kamar Aiken is one of those guys. Nothing to get overly excited about, but someone that I would project in the late rounds of your fantasy draft might be one of those guys worth taking a look at. I hedge it only on the fact that Andrew Luck has been a disappointment the last couple of years. All right, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club is one of seven golf properties in the Tampa Bay area on the Florida Golf Trail. It is one of five that are public. Landsberg is public. Bardmore is public. Northdale is public. The Preserve at Terra is public. And Bloomingdale is public. These are public golf courses that you can play. The two private golf courses on the Florida Golf Trail are the Bayou Club in Pinellas County and over in Valrico, where I am playing on Saturday in a wonderful charity event for the Brandon Foundation run by a very nice lady named Liz, who invited me to play for the first time last year, is River Hills Country Club. Those are the seven courses on the Florida Golf Trail. I would encourage you to try out any of the five public courses, and this is my personal invitation to you. If you would like a look-see at membership and the golf course at Bayou Club or River Hills Country Club, email me, and I can put you in touch with the marketing director, and perhaps I'll even join you, and we'll go out and we'll play together, and I'll be your escort on the golf course for what it would be like to play to be a member at Bayou Club or River Hills Country Club. Yeah, I can do that for you. So if you email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, if you're interested in potential membership at Bayou Club or River Hills. As far as the public courses, remember, your best chance to play Landsberg Golf Club and have a lot of fun doing it is in my next golf tournament, the Final Foursome, Saturday, April 1st at Landsberg. We tee off at 1. I'm going to start serving lunch around 11:30 that morning. JoeBucksFan.com/golf, or just email me to get one of the final spots if you want to buy a foursome or you just want to sign up as a single, a twosome, or a threesome. I don't have much left. You can email me on that as well at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Again, call Landsbrook, or just to check out Landsbrook online, it's landsbrook-golf.com, one of seven courses on the Florida Golf Trail. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Let me make a mention here at the end. Thank you to all of you who have reached out to me with your words for my friend, longtime 620 WDAE host Steve Dumais, and his battle. And I know you're asking a lot of questions, and I can't answer them because at this point, I don't know if Steve can answer them. And if he is, I'm not asking him to answer them for me. So just keep supporting Steve. I pass on how many people approach me or email me, and they just say, hey, tell Steve, you know, we're thinking about him. We miss him on the air on DAE, and so do I. Just know I pass that on to Steve. And there's actually a chance I might see Steve and hit some golf balls with him sometime this weekend if Steve's up for it. So that's my one thought for those of you who wonder about my connection to Steve Dumais and have been thinking about him. And let me just say personally, so have I. And thank you for your support of my friend. We will be back next week on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail, an exclusive presentation of JoeBucksFan.com.